Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet. We're continuing what the Gemara discussed yesterday about the granot, as to what the reasons were for the granot. We talked about the possibility of Pirkei, Leidat, those were the times when they gave birth. The other possibility was that Behema Mitsuya, Lole Regalim. And the last one is Shlo Yavo, Lidei Balte Acher. And a continuation of that on the last line on Zayin Amud Bet, we have Amar Rabbi Yossi, Kol HaMishahed Tivlo, Over Bibalte Acher. Anybody who leaves over his tevel violates Baal Te'acher. Now, it's likely here that the Baal Te'acher is not the same Baal Te'acher that we're talking about in terms of neder, where the Torah explicitly says one may not be me'acher to bring his neder, but rather there's a pasuk that says me'atcha u'dimacha lo te'acher, that you should not tarry or delay in bringing up your me'at dima, which are your trumot and masrot. So that's likely what the meaning of this statement is, that there's also a requirement that a person does right away, takes care of their trumot and masrot, and is mafrish them from the tevel that is there. Now the Gemara continues, Taman Taninan. We have a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says, Rabbi Meir Omer, Be'echad Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'maser Be'ema. On the first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah L'maser Be'ema. We have an argument here, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Be'echad Be'tishrei. It's on the first of Tishrei. Whether that really belongs in the Girsa or not, it's not, doesn't really matter. We have it in our Mishnah, and it's mentioned in Rosh Hashanah as well, but it's helpful anyway in terms of the context here. Ben Azai Omer, on the other hand, Ben Azai says, Elulim mitasrim bifnei atzmam, that Elul goes by itself. Means that all the behemoth prior to Elul belong to one maser behema. Those in Elul belong to their own maser by themselves, and then those after or post Elul go into another bucket of maser. Those in Elul are by themselves because we do not know when the cutoff is. The Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh Hashanah Be Rosh Chodesh Elul, or is Rosh Hashanah for them Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, or Rosh Hashanah. So, Amar Rabbi Huna, Taimud Rabbi Meir. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir? An kein hein mit matzot, or it could be mach mitzot. Mit matzot means that they finish, and mach mitzot means that they delay or tarry, leleid, mina yishanot, that the old ones give birth. Mikan ve'elech hein matchilot, leleid, mina chadashot. From that point forward, they give birth from the newer ones. So Rabbi Meir says Rosh Hashanah is Bechad Be'elul because we know from the Gemara and other places that the gestation period of a Behema Daka is 5 months. So therefore, those that were impregnated in Nisan would give birth 5 months later, and that would already be in the new year, because Nisan is the beginning of the new year. And therefore, Elul would have been the beginning of the new year 5 months later. On the other hand, those that are performed before Elul were also impregnated prior to Nisan. And based on that, he says that's the cutoff for Maaser Behema. Rabbi Yosef B'Rabbi Bon, B'Shem Rav Huna. So now we have Rabbi Yosef B'Rabbi Bon, a fifth generation Amora, says the name of Rav Huna, a fourth generation Amora. Taimod, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Let me give you the reason for Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon, before we just give the reasoning behind Rabbi Meir. Now we have the reasoning for Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, because of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Lavshu Karim Hatzon, that the fields are filled with flocks, Vamagim Yatfubar, and the valleys are covered in produce, Itroa'u Afyashiru, they will be making lots of noise and singing. So now they define that, or they darshan that pasuk to say, Lavshu Karim Hatzon, the fact that the fields are covered in sown, Ela Bechirot, those that are born early, Vamagim Yatfubar, the valleys are full of tfuah, elo afilot. These are the later ones. And over here, they might be talking about bar, not to be tfuah, but bar from the lashon of to impregnate, but the later ones to give birth. Yitroa'u af yashiru. They will sing together. Tells you, elu velu nechasim ledir lehit aser. They go together into the corral to give me my throat together. So whether they are born early or born later, they all go together into the same corral to have the maiser Behema taken from them. Now, based on that, the Yerushalmi says that's the reasoning of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Meir. If you actually look in the Bavli in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chet, there the Gemara says that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon darshan the pasuk, and that is Rabbi Meir says the tzon and the bar. When is it that the tzon are found, meaning that they are becoming impregnated, and bar and the tvuah is also beginning to emerge, meaning that it's growing and it's covering the fields, that's an Adar. So if you take Adar plus 5 months of gestation, you end up in Av. That means that those animals will be born in Av. That means Elul already will be at the beginning of the new year for Maaser Behema. On the other, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon say that the latter half of the pasuk is modifying. When is it that lavshu karim atzon? It's not when you have tfu bar. It's not when the amakim are full of produce that the animals are in their main state of being impregnated. But rather, it's the latter half of the pasuk which says lavshu karim atzon is idrou af yashiru. Is it a time when you hear the grain singing? When is the grain singing? When it's in full bloom and the wind is blowing through it. And that's in Nisan. So if you take Nisan plus the 5 months of gestation, that ends in Elul. That means the Rov of the Behemoth will be born by Elul, and Rosh Hashanah will be Tishrei, meaning Aleph Tishrei, and then the new year will begin after that. So their machloket revolves around the understanding of the Pasuk. The Gemara there challenges that and says, what does each one of them do with the other side of the Pasuk? And then the Gemara backs away from that explanation and says their machloket really revolves around Aser Taser. Aser Taser comes to teach you that there is a hekesh between the Maser Dagan and Maser Behemah. And the question is, what does that mean? So one of them, the Rebbe Meir says, what's the hekesh between Maser Dagan and Maser Behemah? Just like Maser Dagan, Samuch L'Gamro, at the time that's almost finished, meaning when it's done, that's when you take off the Maser, Af Maser Behemah, Samuch L'Gamro, when they're basically finished, and that's the end of Chodesh Av. On the other hand, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon say, what's the hekesh between Maser Dagan and Maser Behemah? Is Ma Maser Dagan Rosh Hashanah Shalot Tishrei? Just like Maser Dagan, Tishrei is the cutoff for the years of Maser. Af Maser Beima, so to Maser Beima, Rosh Hashanah is the cutoff. So the question of the comparison to Maser Dagan is it a thematic comparison or is it a date comparison? Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon believe it's a date comparison, and therefore Rosh Hashanah, or the first of Tishrei, is the cutoff. As Ramir says, it's a thematic connection, which is just like by Maser Dagan, we go by the end or the completion of the working on the produce to make it chayav and maser. So to over here, by the behemot, the rov of them is at the end. Just note here that it's important whether you hold like either one, whether the Yushalmi or the Bavli, is that they only focus on the behemot dakot. They only focus on the flock animals and not the cattle. The cattle have longer gestation periods, and therefore they would extend longer. So the Farshim explained that that's for two reasons. One is because the behemot dakot are the majority of behemot that are born, both because there are two different species, kvasim and izim, versus cattle, which only has one species. In addition to that, because in their pregnancies, they carry more than one, versus they can be impregnated and give birth more than one time, whereas the parim are only, because they're carrying multiples, they can be carrying multiples via versus the parim that do not carry multiples. For that reason, the Chazal focused on the tzon as being the determining factor for maser behemah, despite the fact or knowing the fact that bakar is somewhat different than that. So now, based on that, we have a machloket, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir with clearly stated positions. What the Gemara wants to now understand is what's Ben Azai's position. Ben Azai, so now the Gemara says, Amar, Ben Azai, ho'il ve'elu omrim kach, ve'elu omrim kach, Ben Azai says, well, since they say this, and they say that, yeheo lulim mitasrim b'fnei atzman. Elul should be by itself, meaning that we're unable to be machriya between these two positions. And since we cannot be machriya between these two positions, we should be choshesh for both of them. That means that both Rosh Chodesh Elul and Rosh Hashanah will both be Rosh Hashanah Lemaser Behema. And that's why the Elulim go by themselves. And therefore, when it comes to Kach, what's the case here? So Nolad Lo probably should read Beheba Av, five of them in Av, Heba Elul, five in Elul, and Heba Tishrei, and five in Tishrei, Emet Starfim, they don't get together. Now there's clearly a problem in the Girsa, because if it's really true that you had five in Av, five in Elul, and five in Tishrei, and the whole position of Ben Azai is based on a Safeg, then Mimanov Shach, you have ten here. Either because the 5 in Elul get together with the 5 in Tishrei, or because the 5 in Av get together with the 5 in Elul. And therefore, the Girsa, according to most, is Hey Av v'Hei v'Elul. 5 in Av and 5 in Elul, they're not mitzdareif. Or, the next case is Hey Elul and Hey Tishrei. 5 in Elul and 5 Tishrei, they're not mitzdareif. Or, Hey Av v'Hei Tishrei. 5 in Av and 5 in Tishrei, which is an obvious case, but just to parallel the last case, in mitzdarfim. None of those will get together because for Ben Azai, Elul stands on its own. And that's why they don't get together. On the other hand, when it comes to a case that Nolad, Hei B'Tishrei, you have five in Tishrei, and then Hei B'Av, in the subsequent Av, you have another five, Heilu Mitzdarfim, because then they're in the same year. It's from Tishrei now, all the way to Av at the end of the year, 10 months later, they're in the same year, and they would be Mitaser together. Now the Gemara asks a question on this, U'ben Azai Machriya Divrei Talmidav. How could it be that Ben Azai is a Machriya over here? How could it be that Ben Azai is the one bringing a compromised position when Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon are later in the next generation? Ben Azai is a Talmid Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon. So how could it be that Ben Azai is coming along to be a compromised position for the students of Rabbi Akiva? We know that Ben Azai has a very strong relationship with Rabbi Akiva, Talmid Chaver, as well as the fact that in the Gemara he either tried to or did marry the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. So you have a huge relationship in terms of them being peers. So why would it be that Ben Azai would be a Machriya? The Bavli poses the question in a slightly different way, which is Ben Azai was very sharp, and Ben Azai was able to get to the bottom of the reasons behind all the positions. And how could it be here that Rabbi Ben Azai is left in an indecisive position when he's the one who always figures out how to get to the bottom of these things? So it must be that he couldn't be the Machriya here. He can't be a compromised position over here. So whether Yushalmi deals with it and says, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Meisha, Bishem, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is a third, fourth generation Amora, and Rabbi Meisha also of the same peer genre. Shem Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak, who's a third generation Amora. Shekein Nechleku Alea Avot Olam. That this machloket was prior to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. It predates them. So Mara says, Man Inun Avot Olam. Who are these Avot Olam who predate Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon in this argument? So Tana, Rabbi Yonah, Kumi, Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rabbi Yonah, fourth generation of Amora, brings in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah a Braita that tells us Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, as far as Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, they learned by Rabbi Akiva, and he was their Rabbo Amufak. Rabbi Meir, we saw in the Gemaras in the Bavli, first learned by Rabbi Shmuel and then by Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shmuel was both the Rebbe of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, both Rebbeim of Rabbi Meir. So in this instance, it's most likely that Rabbi Shmuel represents the position of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Akiva represents that position of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, Ben Azai, who's coming afterwards, is bringing a compromised position to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, which would make sense, because he is slightly younger than them. He's a Talmud Chaver, so he could bring a compromised position to their positions, but not if it's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. In the Bavli, the Gemara comes to a different conclusion, which is that Rabbi Yochanan says Ben Azai's position is based on a Misora from Chagai Zechariah Malachi, and that it's not a compromised position. Over here, the Yushami says it is a compromised position, but the Machloket predates Ben Azai, because it's not just Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, but Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, the Gemara says, Zoto Meret, Ben Azai, Chaver V'Talmid Ayad Rabbi Akiva. The way that the Yushami calls him is a Chaver V'Talmid. The way that the Bavli terms it is Talmid Chaver, which usually means that he learned by his Rebbe and eventually rose to the position where he was either on the same level as his Rebbe and learning and posed questions to him, or the Rebbe was slightly older than him, therefore he needed him for the Shmuot, but he still was a peer of him, so therefore he's called a Talmid Chaver. So you have this term that is Ben Azai must have been a Talmid Chaver, a Chaver B'Talmid to Rabbi Akiva, because you have to say this, Im Temar Rabbei. If Rabbi Akiva was really just his Rebbe, eat Barnash, Amar the Rebbe, is there any person that would say to his Rebbe, Ho ve'elu amrukach, ve'elu amrukach, since they say this and they say this, and therefore I'll bring a compromised position. He says about his Rebbe, elu amrukach, they said this. He should say about him, Rabbi amarkach, or Rabotai amrukach, my Rebbeim said this. The fact that he doesn't term Rabbi Akiva as a Rebbe, but rather as a term that would be used for peers, or people that are younger than him, shows you that he is a Talmud Chaver. Rabbi Abon the Shem, Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak, Shamala min Hadah. They learned it out from this statement. Amarle Ben Azai, Rabbi Azai says, Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, this is from the Mishnayot in Baba Batra, Alachalukim anu mitztarim, el shabbatal achlok aleinu et ashavin. You, we already have enough problems where Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai argue. Now where we have a Mishnah that says they agree, you want to come and say that they still disagree over here. So there is a case where a house fell down on him and his mother, and the question is, who gets precedence in terms of the Yerusha, because we have a Safek here as to who died first. So there, the Mishnah sounds like Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai agree in that position, and Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, no, it's still the same machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai about the Mukhzakim in this, and who is Mukhzak in this. And Ben Azai says to Rabbi Akiva, we already have enough machloka Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, why are you adding to this? So again, Zot Omeret, we would conclude from this that Ben Azai Chaver v'Tamid Hayav l'Rabbi Akiva, that Ben Azai was a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, because Inte Amar Rabbe, if he really was his Rabbi, it Barnash Amar the Rabbe, is there a person who would say to his Rabbi, Al Shabbat Alachlok Aleinu, that you came to say, make a machloket at this, at the Shavin, those are already reconciled? I mean, he doesn't address them with terms of Kavod, of Ella Rabbi, that my Rebbe, you say this, but rather he just addressed them as he would to another person in the second person form, rather than the third person. That shows that he was a Talmud Chaver. So we have examples of this. There are many other examples in Shas where Ben Azai addresses Rabbi Akiva like a peer, and so makes it clear that he is a Talmud Chaver of Rabbi Akiva, not simply a Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. Taman Taninan. Over there, we have a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Bichorot. It says, Kol anoladim mechad b'tishrei ad chavtet be'elul, arei elu mitztarfim. Any animal that's born from the 1st of Tishrei until the 29th of Elul, they are mitztarif. They come together to being in a single maiser be'ema. Chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah. Chamisha l'achar Rosh Hashanah. You have five before Rosh Hashanah, five after Rosh Hashanah, ein mitztarfim. Those are different years. Hei lifnei agoren, vehei l'achar agoren, hei lo elu mitztarfim. Five before the goren, five after the goren, then they are mitztarif. So the Gemara there in the Bavli explains why the Mishnah comes to teach us, or what the Mishnah comes to teach us, which is that when it comes to Maiser Behema, the only real cutoff is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the definite and definitive cutoff. So things that are born in the same year, as long as they don't cross over Tishrei or Rosh Hashanah, they're considered to be one for Maiser Behema. Despite the fact that we just learned in our Mishnah here, as well as in the Mishnayot in Rosh Hashanah, that Maiser Behema has three granot. It has three different times where the Rabbanan said you should put the Maiser Behema together and do the Maiser Behema. Nevertheless, even though those granot are there, those are not fixed and they're not definitive. Meaning that animals from the before the Goren until after the Goren can be mitzareif. They can join together. Because those granot are just suggestions or ways to improve the situation based on the reasons that we saw in yesterday's daf. But they're not to come to give you absolute time periods upon which you have to then divide the animals before and after. So over here, if the animals are before the Goren and after the Goren, they can be mitzareif to become to 1/10 set of 10 for Maser Beima. So now, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Hada Omeret. From this you must conclude, Maser Beima lo asuata lo kechenet velo keshlish. They didn't make it like chenet and shlish. Chenet and shlish are the two thresholds by which we determine when something is chayav in Masrot, which year it belongs to. With regards to tvua, to produce, it goes over a shlish. Whether it's 1/3 of its maturity and growth, whether it's 1/3 of its weight in growth, that's used for produce and for olives. Chenet is used for fruits of the tree. Once they are chanata means that the fruits have emerged from the tree. Then that is when they are determined. The year, to determining which year they belong to, is determined by chenet. So what he's saying here is, neither of these seem to be applicable here to Maiser Beima. We're not using chenet, and we're not using shlish. Because if we use chenet, we would assume that as soon as they became pregnant, that would be the determining year for the animals. And if they use a shlish, we would say, okay, by tvua, shlish is the point in time which we say that it's strong enough to stand up, and it won't be ruined, and we assume that it'll grow to full maturity, and the seeds that are there can be replanted. So too by Beima. What is that threshold? For Beima, that threshold is 8 days. For the first 7 days, it could be a Nefel. On the 8th day, it's no longer considered to be a possible Nefel. And that's why a Korban can only be brought from an animal after the 8th day, or the 8th day and onwards, not in the first 7 days. So too over here, by Beima, you would have to have that threshold. The fact is here, that they just enumerated the year for the Behemoth from the 1st of Tishrei until the 29th of Tishrei. By doing that, it precludes our understanding to be parallel with either one of these cases. Because, im teimar b'kechenet, if you say it's like the emergence of the fruit, litnei kol ha-mi'ubarim, anybody who became impregnated, me'achad b'tishrei ad-tisrim b'tisha be'elul, that would be the right way to state it. Not kol ha-noladim, all those that were born. Born is already the completion of the process, not the start of the process. Im teimar k'shlish, if you want to say it's parallel shlish v'tvua, litnei kol ha-noladim ad-tisrim b'shnayim be'elul, all the animals that are born until the 22nd of Elul. 22nd of Elul means that there are only 7 days left in Elul because there are only 29 days. Elul is always chaser, and therefore there's only 7 days left. That's not enough days for the animal that's born after the 22nd, meaning on the 23rd till the 29th to have the full 8th day, to reach the 8th day where it'll reach the maturity where we don't worry about it anymore. So that's the way it should have been phrased. The fact that it's not phrased this way tells you that the Maiser Behema does not follow the pattern or the parallel to tvuah and doesn't follow the pattern or the parallel of fruits. It has its own system, which is that it's the full year, whenever they're born during that year. Then along comes Rabbi Shammai, b'shem Rabbi Bon b'Rabbi Chia. So you have a fourth, fifth generation Amora saying in the name of a third generation Amora, kishlish asuota. The truth is, it's like a shlish. If it's a shlish, shouldn't have it said from Rosh Chodesh, meaning from Aleph Tishrei until the 22nd of Elul? How come it says until the 29th of Elul? K'Rabbi Shimon. That's because that Mishnah in Bechorot follows the position of Rabbi Shimon. Dama Rabbi Shimon. Mechusar Zman nichnas ledir leitaser. Because according to Rabbi Shimon, even a Mechusar Zman can go into the counting for the Maser Be'ima. True, it can't be brought as a Korban until after the 8th day. But it still counts towards the 10 of Maser Be'ima, even in its first 7 days of life. So if you say that, now we have from the 1st of Tishrei till the 29th of Elul, that can fit according to Rabbi Shimon. Now come Rabbi Mano. Im Rabbi Shammai, so Rabbi Mano, fifth generation Amora, got up to Rabbi Shammai, which means that he wanted to disagree with him. He says, wait a minute. Amar Lei. He says to him, At Amart Chada Milta, you said this item, this came from you. And now we're missing something from the Girsa, you can see that in the Gra already. So Amar Lei, he responds to him, Rabbi Shammai, in, I did say that. So Amar Lei, if that's the case, Rabbi Mano says back to him, Ha Tamantaninan. Don't we have a Mishnah over there that says, Benazai Omer, Helulim mitasrim latzman, Elul goes by itself. Lo, afilo nolad esrim betisha be'elul. Isn't it true that Benazai says that's from the 1st of Elul to the 29th of Elul, the whole month of Elul? He does not differentiate between getting to the end or not. So then, what are you going to say now? Idlochalam Eimar Benazai Rabbi Shimon. What are you going to suggest that Benazai holds like Rabbi Shimon? Lo, the Rabbinan he. Kerabinan, he's like the Rabbonon. Ben Azai clearly doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Shimon's position. It's clear that he must hold like the Rabbonon, because we're talking about the role versus a singular person. If you tell me the Mishnah is a Dat Yochid, that's fine. But here, Ben Azai, who has his opinion, he's definitely going to follow the Rove. And the Rove say here that we go until the end of the month. And that's despite the fact that if you're Mechusar Zman, you can't go into the Maaser Behema. So now what you must say here, and again here, the Girsa is very problematic. If you look in the Gra, it actually reverses the lines here in the Gemara, which is, Ella, Kamad Amart al de Ben Azai. What do you say about Ben Azai? Medichan l'shanaba. You have to leave them over for the next year. Behein mitasrim in Bnei Elulim. And they go together with the ones from Elul. Kain atamar arabonon. You have to say the same thing at the Rabbanon. Medichin l'shanaba. Behein mitasrim in Bnei Shnatan. You leave them over to the next year, and they're counted with the previous year. So basically what the answer of Rabbi Mano is, Rabbi Mana says, you're right, those last 7 days of the year, those animals that are born then, they cannot go into the corral. They can't go into the corral because they're too young. But that does not mean that they belong to the next year. All that means is that you have to wait until they reach the age when they can go into the corral. And once they reach the age that they can go into the corral, you'll put them together with the previous year's animals because they were born in the previous year. And it has also to do with when you are born. When you are born is the determining factor over here. And as long as you are born in that year, that is the defining matter. It has nothing to do with Shlish, nothing to do with Chenet. I disagree with you, Rabbi Shammai. It has to do with which year you're born in. And if you're born in that year, even though you can't get into the deer, you can't get into the corral if you can from Maaser Behema in that year, nevertheless, once you grow old enough that you can go in there, we'll put you in there together with the animals that need to. And that's the same way we'll explain the Rabbanan's position. Just like we had to explain Ben Azai that way, because he certainly doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon, we'll also explain the Rabbanan that way. And if we do that, then we no longer would suggest that the Maaser Behema follows the pattern of Shlish, like you were suggesting, Rabbi Shammai. Amar Rabbi Huna, it's fourth generation Amora. Zoto Merit, Yamim, Shabachor, Mechusar Zman, Behen Olim, Lolutok Shnato. That the days that are missing from a Bechor to reach his full year, they count. Now, he basically proves this from what we just said over here. The fact that over here that we count the year of the animal, and we say that these animals that are born in this year count towards this year, shows you that the first 7 days, even though technically you can't bring that animal to the Mizbech on that day, they still count towards the year of the animal. They still count towards when the animal is born. And so too, we will take this din and extrapolate it to Bechor. The din by Bechor is that a Bechor must be eaten in its first year of life. That means whether it's a Tam or a Baal Mum, it has to be brought, if it's a Tam, to Mizbech by the Kohen, and then eaten as a Korban. Or if it's a Baal Mum, the Kohen can eat it as Chulin by his house. But he has to do that within the first year of the life of the Bechor. when do you start counting the first year of the life? Do we count it from the day it's born? That's the 1 year we count? Or do we count it from the day that it's ra'ui to become a korban? So that would be only from the 8th day. So you'd actually have, from the day it's born, a year and 7 days until it completed its first year of life. So what we say is from our Gemara over here, which says that those animals born in 1 year are all counted together, even though they're mechusar zman, shows you that we count the day from the day they are born. And so too, Rabbi Bechor, the year of the Bechor will count from the day that it's born. Amar Rabbi Mano, Rabbi Mano again gets involved here, a fifth generation Amar, and says, Amar Rabbi Yonah, Abba Shama Lame Adam. So, Rabbi Mano says, I heard from Rabbi Yonah, my father, that he learned it out of this Pasuk. This Pasuk is the Pasuk that speaks about Bechor, which is called Bechor Asher Yivaled Bivkarcha Uvitzoncha Azachar Takdish LaShem Elokecha. Lo tavo b'bechor sherecha, lo tagoz b'chor tzonecha. So now, Mara says, here it says, a zachar takdish. You have to be makdishit. Ha keitzat. How do you be makdishit? You have to be makdishit if you have to bring it a korban in its first year of life. So mishat leidato, ata moneh lo shana. The only way this is going to work out is if you count from the first day of it's born to 1 year. And that is because the subsequent pasuk in the Torah says, lifnei Hashem elokecha tochlenu shana bishana. That you have to eat it each year in front of Hashem. That means that, based on the pasuk before, which says yivaleid, from the time the bechor is born, that's when you have shana shana. There's going to be 1 year, 1 year, and then a year after is considered to be a new year, and that all the bechorot that were born have to be used up by that end of that first year. So you see that the shana is counted from the day that it's born. And the fact that it's counted from the day that it's born proves what we just said before, is that the first 7 days are not problematic in terms of counting the year. So he learns it out of the pasuk over here. The Bavli actually has a different conclusion over here. The Bavli actually brings down both dayot. One dayah that the year counts the 7 days, and one dayah that says the year does not count the 7 days. And the Gemara there answers, haba tam, haba balmum. Makes a difference whether it's a tam or balmum. Tam is going to end up on the Mizbeach. Since it's going to end up on the Mizbeach, then the first 7 days are relevant because it's not roi lakrava. And therefore you count the year minus the 7 days. You actually get another 7 days at the end of the year. On the other hand, if it's a balmum and you can eat it by you, it's chulin, the 7 days are not relevant. Now, the truth is, the 7 days are relevant because it would be a nefel before those 7 days. So, the Gemara there says, kalulu chadashav, you're certain that it was born at full term and there's no problems with this animal, it's not a nefel. So based on that, you could eat it only in the year counting from the day it was born. So the Bavli has a different solution, which is to differentiate between balmum and tam, whereas the Yushalmi says it then applies both to balmum and tam, which is that the year counts from the day of leida. Right, now we move on to the next Mishnah, which talks about the kupot, how they did the Trumat Alishka. B'shlosh kupot shoshlosh shalosh sa'im tarmin at Alishka. You take 3 baskets, each basket holds 3 sa'im in it. That's how they were tarim lishka. B'katuv alayen, aleph, bet, gimel. Each one of these baskets has a letter on it. Aleph on one of them, bet on the next, and gimel on the next to tell you this is the first, second, and third. So that you use them in that order. You use the first one first, then the second one, then the third one until you run out, or if you have excess, we'll see in the next Mishnah what happens with that. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yivanit Kaduvalayim. The truth is that it was written in Greek, not in Hebrew. It didn't say Aleph, Beta, and Gimel, but it rather had the Greek alphabet on them, which is Alpha, Beta, Gamma. It's Alpha, Beta, Gamma, A, B, C, that was written on the baskets, and not Aleph, Beta, Gimel. In the end, it's the same thing. It's just a question of what did they use as the marking. Did they use Hebrew, or did they use Greek? And that's based on the Gemara that we'll see in Megillah, that Greek is considered to be, have a special, unique standing within the Mikdash, or within Judaism as a whole, because of the bracha by Noach of Yafta Elohim the Yofet Baalei Shem. So because of that, the Greek was allowed to be used. Now, Eina Toreim, the person who goes to be Toreim, he doesn't go in Nechnas, Lobi Pargud, Chafut. He cannot go on with anything that has a hem on it, or a cuff on it that is stitched down. V'lo min al, not with a shoe. V'lo bit sandal, not with a sandal. V'lo bit tefillin, not with tefillin shayad, not tefillin shirosh. V'lo kameya, and not with an amulet. Because what we're afraid of is that he'll stick a coin in one of those areas. Those are places that he can hide the coin. And since he can hide the coin, then maybe people will think that he's stealing from the lishka. This is a place full of money, and he could walk out of there. Now, truth is, we trust the individual that's going in there. We'll see in the next Mishnah a little more about that. But assuming that we do trust the individual that's going in there, so what's the problem? The problem is Shemei Ye'ani. Maybe the person who does the Trumat Lishka will become poor. Ve'imru, Me'avon Lishka He'ani. The reason he became poor is because he stole from the Trumat Lishka. He stole from the treasuries of the Mikdash. Oshemi Yashir, or maybe they become wealthy. Ve'omru, and they'll say, Mitrumat Alishka Yashir. The reason he's rich is because he was stealing from the treasuries of the Mikdash. So because of that, we say that he has to be absolutely squeaky clean, make sure that there's no possibility that he could hide a goin there. Shadam tzarech letzeit yidei abriot, kuder shu tzarech letzeit yidei makom. A person has to be clean in the eyes of people, just like he is clean in the eyes of God. Because Shinamar, the pasuk says, Ve'yitem nikiyim Hashem Yisrael. It says this by Bnei Gad Bnei Ruven. We'll spend more time on this on tomorrow's daf. But you have to be nakiy, you have to be cleared, meaning everybody has to understand you're doing the right thing, me Hashem. Shem needs to know you're doing the right thing, but also Yisrael have to know that you're doing the right thing. You have to justify yourself or prove yourself that you're doing the right thing. So therefore you don't take chances of doing something that will bring suspicion upon you. And that's why we do not allow you to go in with any of these items. Vomer, or another pasuk goda, which is Matzah Chein, V'seichel Tov, Be'nei Elokim B'Adam. That a person should find favor and to be considered to be wise in the eyes of God and the eyes of man. Again, Elohim and Adam are both relevant over here. Both in the eyes of God and the eyes of man, you need to be Matzachin. The Gemara will discuss all of this in tomorrow's daf. As far as the shoes and the sandalim here, it's a very interesting question because an individual is not allowed to wear shoes on Harabait. So here, the Chumat Lishkar, the Lishka itself, was on Harabait. So how is this person possibly wearing shoes over here? So the possibility is that he's wearing shoes that we wear like on Yom HaKippurim. The Isur of Nilata Sandal in the Mikdash is similar to the Isur Nilata Sandal that is on Yom HaKippurim. So there are certain things that you can wear on your feet that are possible to wear and not violate the Isur of Nilata Sandal with regards to the Mikdash. Okay, now the Gemara continues. The Gemara continues here with a sugya that is going to launch into almost a complete daf of a sugya that is not found in the Yerushalmi, and was clearly a later addition to the Yerushalmi here. It's a sugya that's brought out of other places in the Yerushalmi, as well as in the Bavli and Psachim. It's a little bit of chazara for things that we did see in the Bavli. We'll read it with that in there, but I'll point out to you where the problems are. The first of those problems is right here, which is Taman Taninan. Over there we have a Mishnah. The question is whether it's according to the Mishnah from Shabbat, or what really should have been here is our Mishnah over here. But Taman Taninan Mifanin Afilu Dalvi V'Chamesh Kupot. In the Gemara in Shabbat, it says that you can clear away even 4 or 5 baskets worth of produce that's there in order to clear space out to utilize that area. And it's not a problem of muksa. That was the Mishnah in Shabbat. Now, Rabbi Zeira Shalit, Rabbi Yoshia, Kama Hu Shiran Shel Kupot. What is the size of these baskets? Amarlei, Nilmod, we should learn out, Satum Mina Mifurash. Where it's not spoken about in the Mishnah in Shabbat from Mina Mifurash, here in our Mishnah, where it is Mifurash. Now, we have Titania, because this is a brayta coming to support our understanding here. The truth is that this is where the Yerushalmi begins. That introductory phrase is not found in the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi begins here, Tane. We have a brayta, which is, B'shalosh kupot, shalosh shalosh sa'in. They take it out with 3 kupot of 3 sa'in, she'in tisha sa'in, which turns out to be 9 sa'in, which she'in esrim v'sheva sa'in, that are 27 sa'in. Termina talishka. That's how they do trumat talishka. V'ketuv aleihem, and written on them, aleph bet gimel. Aleph bet gimel, like we have in our Mishnah. Mipnei ma ketuv aleihem aleph bet gimel. Why is it that aleph bet gimel is written on them? Lomar, mistapeg min arishona, kodem lishniya. Use the one that has aleph on it before you use the second one that has bet on it. Min ashniya, kodem lishlishit. And we use the second one before we use the third one. In the Yerushalmi, that's the end of the Gemara, till almost right before the next Mishnah, which basically means the entire next daf was not found in the Yerushalmi. I will note over here that the Rambam has a different understanding of the Mishnah that might derive from the Braita that we just quoted over here. And that is that the Rambam says that they used to go into the Lishka and take out from there 3 baskets that each one had 9 sa'in in it. And then once they took out those 9 sa'in in each of those baskets, then in each one of the periods when they did the Trumat HaLishka, they had 3 baskets of 3. And those 3 baskets of 3, they used to take out of the first one from the first one that was 9 sa'in, they take out 3 baskets of 3. And then in the second time of Trumat, they would take out 3 baskets from Bet that had 9 sa'in in it. And then the third time from the basket that had 9 sa'in in it, 3. So that's where the Rambam learns this Mishnah, our Mishnah that passed. He might be heavily influenced by the Bright over here that says that it's 27 Sa'in. And so he's trying to come up with how do we get to this number of 27 Sa'in. The Mefarshim here explained that it's 3 times that we do this. Each time you have 3 Sa'ah. So that turns out to be that if you do it 3 times a year with 3 baskets, each basket is 3 Sa'ah, that's 9 Sa'in in each Truma. And you do it 3 times a year, you get to 27 Sa'in. That's the way they explain it. On the other hand, many believe that the Braita here definitely argues on our Mishnah. And the truth is that the Mesorah that the Tanaim had was Bishlosh Kupot Shel Teisha Sa'in Tormim. The three Kupot of nine Sa'in, they were Torim. Our Mishnah interprets that to mean that the Teisha Sa'in is the sum of the three baskets. And that's why our Mishnah says that each basket has three Sa'in in it. On the other hand, the Bright over here believes that when it says Teisha Sa'in, that is the size of each of the baskets is Teisha Sa'in. And this language of Shalosh Shalosh Sa'in is extra. It was lifted out of our Mishnah. It doesn't belong here. And the Bright really believes that you use nine Sa'in baskets in each time. And again, the Rambam might have been influenced by this Bright, or this Tosefta, to influence his explanation of our Mishnah to try to combine the two and say, there's actually, yes, there are baskets of nine Sa'in as well as baskets of three Sa'in. And the nine Sa'in are what you take out originally, and then the three Sa'in are what you take out of each one of those nine Sa'a baskets later on. Right now, the Gemara launches into a sidebar, again, something that's not found in the Yishalmi, but actually, because we just spoke about the Shirim of the baskets, and that was what the addition of that question that was asked by Rabbi Zeira to Rabbi Shaya. So that question, we have a similar type of question in another location. So he answered him here, well, it has to do with our Mishnah. You look at our Mishnah, it says three Sa'a. So the baskets in Shabbat must also be the size of three Sa'a. And then we have a similar type of question, which is, Taman Taninan, we learned over there, Motzi Yain Kedei Mizigat HaKos. Someone who takes out wine is the amount that it takes to dilute a kos. Rabbi Zeira Shalad Rabbi Shaya, again, the same questioner, and the person who's being questioned is posed to, Kama Hu Shiro Shel Kos. What is the size of this kos? I mean, the mission there just says kos. How do you know what the size is? Amalei nilmad satum in mifurash. We'll learn that where it's not explicit from a place where it is explicit. The Tani Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya says, arba koshot shamru yeshtan revi'it shal yayin b'italki. The four kosot of Pesach have a revi'it yayin shal italki. So we know that the four kosot of Pesach are a revi'it. And therefore, by Pesach, the kos is a revi'it. So too, the kos that's spoken about by Shabbat is also talking about a revi'it log. And right now, the Groa takes out the next piece of the Gemara, a large section here, because it's quoting the Mishnayot from the Gemara in Shabbat, and doesn't really answer the question. It just spins around and gets back to the same question in the end. And so therefore, the Gemara's conclusion over here is, which is, what is the shear of that kos? So we said, from Rabbi Chiya, we learn out that it's revi'at the kos. And then we continue here with Rabbi Avin Amar, titraton v'revi'a. It's this measurement which they knew, which was this titatron, titraton, or titraton, virivia, and a quarter more. So if you take a titatron plus another quarter on top of that, then you'll get to the revita log that we are looking for. Now what's interesting is that the word titatraton might come from the word titration. And we know when it comes to the wine, they used to titrate their wine, they used to do mazug was three parts water, one part wine. So if you actually take it that the titatron was a titration, meaning that it held the three parts of water in it, then they would be that you would need another quarter above that. Now a quarter above that would be a quarter milibar, not a quarter milagab, which really means a third above that. So it would be that titatron plus a third would give you actually the revi'at halug. And I'm just suggesting maybe that's a possibility about what this measurement was, and that it would explain how we get to the revi'at halug. But the Gra takes out this whole Lashon and he brings it back later at a specific point. He brings a part of it back later. But that's why we're going to skip it because it doesn't really add anything to our sugya. Now, Ma'u Ishtotan B'Krach Echad. Can you drink the Arba Kosot B'Vat Echad? This is a question that was posed in the Bavli Pesachim on Daf Kufchet Amud Bet. And there the Gemara asks, Shatan B'Vat Echad. If you drink all the Arba Kosot in one shot, what's the din? So over here he says, Mida Amar Rabbi Mano Amar Rabbi Yossi Halel. When it comes to Hallel on the night of Pesach, Im Shaman Bebeit HaKnesset Yatsa. If you heard Hallel and you were Yotze with Hallel in Shul, then you do not have to say it again at the night of the Seder. You don't have to complete the Hallel on the night of the Seder. Hadam Ran, from that you would conclude, Im Shatan Bekrach Echad Yatsa. If you drink them in one shot, you are Yotze. Because Hallel is the dividing factor between the third and fourth cup. You say Hallel on the fourth cup. Now, if you don't have Hallel to say that night, that means the third and fourth cup you drink the third and fourth cup right over in a row. So that shows you that Bavad Achad is okay. The Yerushalmi concludes that Shatan Bavad Achad is fine. Whereas the Bavli concluded, Shatan Bavad Achad, Rav Amar, Yidei Yain Yatsa, Yidei Arba Kosot Lo Yatsa. He's Yotze with regards to Yain, he's not Yotze Yidei Arba Kosot. So he might be Yotze whether it's Kiddush or a Simchat Yom Tov, but he's not Yotze the Arba Kosot. So the Bavli disagrees. We also know, based on the Rishonim on the Bavli, that if you say Hallel and Shul, that's not enough. You need to say Hallel during the Seder night, because the Arba Kosot were nikvu al Arba Mitzvot, and Hallel is an integral part of the night of the Seder, as well as the Arba Kosot. So that might lead to some of this difference here in opinion, which is here the Yerushalmi believes that you don't have to repeat Hallel at night at the Seder if you said it in Shul. We have the practice, and the Bavli seems to indicate that even if you said it in Shul, you would repeat it on the night of the Seder. Now the Gemara asks the next question, Ma'alishtotan bepiskan. Now, piskan or psikan means that what happens if you sip it? You don't drink it in one gulp. You drink it slowly. So you would think that you'd have to drink a kosher bracha in one gulp because that's the way that it is, the most potent, and that's the way the wine satiates an individual. So maybe you should have to drink it that way. Maybe piskan doesn't work. So maybe if you break it up, it's no good. Now, if you see down here, the note down there says, poskin hu shem kli amachzik kama reviot. That poskin was actually the name of a utensil that held multiple reviot. And that's the question here. If you drink it in different sections, the reviot in different sections, this actually might be the source for Rashi's interpretation of what Shatan Bevadachat is in the Gemara in Pesachim that he quotes from his Rabotai. He says that Shatan Bevadachat is a big cup that has four reviot in it and he shoots it down in one shot. That might be exactly the question that Yushami is asking over here. The Gro and others disagree and say the question is, if he sips it, if he drinks it slowly, is it okay? So now again here, you have to change the gear. So if you look in the Gra, he says, Glu amru, elishishteh, lo shishtaker, lo shishtaker. The reason that we want him to drink the Arba Kosot is so that he drinks it, not get drunk. We don't want the individual to get drunk on the night of Pesach. That Yushami says in other places, because we want him to be able to finish the Hallel. We want him to be able to, whether it's to learn the Halacha of the Pesach all night. There are many reasons why a person should not be getting drunk on the night of Pesach. So because of that, he says, to drink it in one shot is more likely to make a person drunk. So the fact is that if you drink it slowly, that's called shtiyah, and that's all we require of you. We ask you to drink the four cups, not to get drunk on the four cups. And therefore, it would be fine to drink them in slower pace or in sips. Obviously, it has to be within the requisite time period for kedei shtiyat rivit or kedei achilat pras, depending on what you think is the time span in which it must be completed. So this will be coming up soon. Next year is the Shemitah year. What the question is, can you use Yayin Shel Shvi'it for the Arba Kosot? So Tani Rabbi Shaya, we have a bright from Rishaya, Yotzim B'Yayin Shel Shvi'it, that you can use Yayin Shel Shvi'it for your Arba Kosot. Ma'u Letzeit B'Konditin, can you use Konditin? Konditin is wine that has spices and honey inside of it. Can you use that? So Mar says, Meditani Bar Kapara Konditin U'Kiyayin. Konditin has the same din as Yayin. Hadamra, Yotzim B'Yayin Konditin. Then you would be Yotze with Yayin Konditin. Because if it has a din like Yayin, then if you use it, you have a din of Yayin, and you are Yotze for the Arba Kosot using Konditin. Now, Ma'u Letzeit B'Yayin Mizugin. Can you use diluted wine? Or must you use Yayin Chai? You must use full potent wine? Or can you use diluted wine? So where it says, Miditani Rabbi Chia, since Rabbi Chia has a Braita, Arba'a Kosot Shamru Yotzin Ben Chayin Ben Mizugim. The four kosot, you can drink them whether they are chai, whether they are undiluted, or whether mizugim, whether they are diluted. The Gemara in the Bavli has this question, Rav Amar, when it comes to Shatan Bevatachat, and the Gemara had before that, Shatan Chai, if you drink them undiluted, Amar Rava, Yidei Yain Yatsa, Yidei Chayrut Lo Yatsa. He's Yotzei the Arba Kosot, but Yidei Chayrut Lo Yatsa, he's not Yotzei with regards to Chayrut. That's not the best way to do the mitzvah of the Arba Kosot. So the Bavli said that if you drink them undiluted, you are Yotze, it's not the best way to do it. And over here, the Yushami comes to the same conclusion, which is, tem yayin yayin. As long as they have a taste of wine, and they look like wine. And the Mefarshim explained here that the tam yayin goes on the chayin, on those that are undiluted. Sometimes the wines that are just pure, straight out of the presses, don't have a real taste of yayin to them. So you have to make sure that it has a tam of yayin. And those that are diluted wine, sometimes they lose the appearance of wine, and therefore you have to make sure it has a mare yayin. So it has to have tam and mare yayin, which in the Bavli is attributed to the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Sariach Shebo tam umare yayin. It has to have both of those items in order to be yayin, to be classified for yayin for the night. Here the Yushalmi seems to say the same thing about chayin mezugin, where the Bavli says, Arba Kosot alav Sariach Shebo ben kedei revi'it, echad chay v'echad mazug, doesn't matter. Seems to be he's arguing here. The Yerushalmi brings both of those opinions or those ideas together. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, mitzvah let's say b'yayin adom, you should use red wine. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Al tere yayin ki it adam ki itein bakos seino yitalech b'meisharim." So we see that the idea yayin is associated with red, and again that is quoted in the Bavli in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that it should be have the flavor and taste of wine, and they quote that pasuk, the same pasuk that we're quoting over here. So then, here, the Gra says that we now bring in those Gemaras that we skipped before, which is then, the Gemara says, Vishomazug bekamo. When you use diluted wine, what is the size of that diluted wine? So the Gemara says, Nishmaniya min hada. Let us hear from those Mishnayot that we had before, which is a motzi yayin kedei mizigarakos. Someone who carries out yayin is kedei mizigarakos. It's enough to dilute a kos. And so that's what those Mishnayot before I recording from Shabbat were, was about what's the size of the wine that you have to take out. Machloka, whether it's kedei gmiya, the amount that you would gulp down, or kedei mizigarakos, the amount that would be used for mizigarakos. Now whether that means mizigarakos, meaning that yayin chai means a quarter of a quarter, meaning 1/16 of yayin chai, or kedei mizigarakos means that you have to have the full amount. You take out a revi'at yayin, that will then lead to a revi'at log, which is more likely the explanation over there. Then the Gemara moves on and says, ma'u let's say b'yayin mibushal. Can you use cooked wine or grape juice? Are you allowed to something that is boiled? Are you allowed to use that wine? The question really stems from the Gemara in Baba Batra, because the Gemara in Baba Batra says that whenever is ra'oy l'nasech ala mizbeach, anything that can be used for nisuch ha'yayin on the mizbeach, that you can use for Kiddush Hayom. And we know that when it comes to wine that is cooked, that is boiled, you may not use it on the mizbeach. The question is, why? Why can't you use it? Is it because when you boil the wine, it causes it to deteriorate, or it's to the detriment of the wine, and that's why you can't use it on the mizbeach? And so too, that would be the same thing by Kiddush, that's why you couldn't use it. Or do we say the reason we don't want you to use it for yayin nesach is because you have to bring yayin kamot shehi, the way it is, onto the mizbeach. We don't want any changes in the yayin. By Kiddush, we're not makbid on that. So if it's a change, it's fine. Okay, it can't go on the mizbeach because it's mevushal. That's a technicality by the mizbeach. But that doesn't ruin the fact that you can use it. And this would be an important question both for grape juice as well as all the wines that are maybe pasteurized, that they are boiled. Can you use them for Kiddush? And so here the Gemara answers, Sam Rabbi Yona, we can learn it out, minada, from this brayta that says, Mevushal, areyuk mitubal. That Mevushal is the same thing as mitubal. Mitubal is spiced wine, which is the konditron. The konditron we saw before, we said was fine for Arba Kosot and Kiddush. So if that's fine, mitubal, then Mevushal, which is equated to it, will also be fine. And based on the Yushalmi, it would be fine to use Yayin Mevushal. It's a large discussion amongst the Rishonim. It's a major sugya about Yayin Mevushal as well as grape juice. But they're one which cannot be used on Nisuch HaYayin because you have to have wine that's at least 40 days old. You have to have wine that is not Mevushal to go on the Mizbeach. An equation that the Gemara Baba Batra puts together, how exact is that equation, which will determine whether a person can use grape juice and Yayin Mevushal for Kiddush and for the Arba Kosot. The Rishonim discuss this at length. And you can look, we have the Mekorot there, and the Gemara in Menachot, that sugya. So now, Rabbi Yona the Tameh, the Gemara says Rabbi Yona is the Shitato, that he allowed Yain Mibushal on Pesach, because the Rabbi Yona, Karabi Shati Abrikasin the Pischa, when he used to drink the four Kosot on Pesach, of a Chazik Reishat Chaga, he used to have a headache until Chaga. Chaga usually refers to Sukkot. Over here, some of the Farshim say until Atzeret, until Shavuot. In drinking the wine, he had such a bad reaction to the wine, that for Kosot, that he had a headache for so long afterwards. The Bavli has a similar description about someone who drank the Arba Kosot and had to wrap his head until Chago, until Atzeret, because of the headache that he gave him. Despite the fact he has to drink the Arba Kosot of wine. So number one is, you must drink the Arba Kosot of wine, despite the outcome. But because it was so difficult for him, he wanted the Yain Mevushal to be okay, because the Yain Mevushal is a little less potent than regular Yain, and because of that, he said that Yain Mevushal is okay. So I don't know whether Yushami is saying that he did it because it would help him out, or that it's the Tameh, meaning that it happens to be that his position also happens to help him out in this difficult situation. Chamite chad motronaita, there was one matron, a woman, that saw Api Norin, that his face was alit, his face was shining and glowing. Amra Saba Saba, you elderly one, chadam hanitzlat milin itbach. One of these three things you do to give you such a glow in your face. Either shatui hamrat, either you're a drunkard, and you drink all the time, and that's why you have this glow and this redness to your face. Oh, dimilave biribita, or you're a person who lends out with interest, because that's an easy living and you make good profits. Or you bring up pigs, which is also a very lucrative position that doesn't take a lot of work. So you're in one of these three things that's giving you this great glow. The spirit, the life of this woman should explode, should leave her. I don't have any of these three things. I learn lots of Torah. So now there's two explanations brought by the Karmanei Da. Either means Tamudui Matsubi Ade, my learning is always with me, I'm always learning, or Shematsui Loch Lechadesh Tvarim Bitorah. He makes up a lot of Chidushim in the Torah, and therefore they may in Panav the Hachiktiv, because that's what the Pasuk says, Chachmat Adam Ta'ir Panav. The wisdom of the individual gives a glow to his face. It gives him a certain aura. And therefore, my Torah is what's giving me the aura, not one of these other things. Rabbi Bahu atu Tveria. Rabbi Bahu visited Tveria. Hamune tamudoi de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's tamidim saw Rabbi Bahu. The apein orin, that is again, his face was lit. It was glowing. Amrun. Kume, the Rabbi Yochanan, they went to Rabbi Yochanan and said to him, Ashkach, Rabbi Bahu Sima. Rabbi Bahu definitely found a mitzia. Somebody lost something and he found like a nice prize, a nice bunch of money, and that's why he's so excited and his face is alit. So Adu the Gabay, Rabbi Bahu came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amalei, Mayoraita Chadato Shamat. Rabbi Yochanan knew better than that, and he said to him, what Torah did you learn today that's giving you such a glow? Amalei, Tosefta Tika. I found a old Tosefta. Now, whether that means Tosefta Yishanash L'Rao Tami Yamav, I found a Tosefta I never saw before, or it said I saw an old Tosefta that was Mechadish, things that I'd never seen before. And I was excited about that. Karale, Rabbi Yochanan says about Rabbi Abau, Chachmat Adam Tayir Panav, the wisdom of the individual makes his face glow. Now, over here, again, there are a lot of gears of problems with the next section of the Gemara. This section of the Gemara actually matches up with the Gemara on Kuftet in our Gemara Psachim. It should be a little bit of a review, which is Amar Vachanin, Luga de Oraita, the Log Min HaTorah, is Tmunata Atika de Moraisa de Tzipori. Is the Tmunata is the name of a measurement, the old measurement like that of Moraisa fish brine in Tzipori. The way that we have it in the Bavli is Amar Vitzah Kasta de Moraisa David Tzipori, that the Kasta instead of Tmunata of the Moraisa, the fish brine in Tzipori, was equivalent to the log of the Migdash. Now, Amar Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yonah says, Vachmanola, I know where it is, or I've seen it. Even though it's the older one, I've seen it. The Beit Rabbi Yanai have a mechilin badvash. They used to use it for measuring out their honey. They use this instrument or this size utensil. Now, the way the Gemara in Bavli has it, Uba Mishorim Revit Shel Pesach. That's how you know how much a Revit HaKos is. Because a log is made up of four Revit HaLog, four quarter logs. So if you take the measurement and you pour it out into four cups evenly, then you'll have your Revit HaLog for each cup. That's what the Gemara in Psachim is speaking about. According to the Gra, we skip the next couple of words with Rabbi Yochanan. We'll bring them back later. And then the Gemara says, V'lama kari le atika. Why did he call it the old measurement? Why is he calling it the old measurement if they found it? I mean, the Gaina Hava Biome, it was still extant at their time, so why are they calling it the old one? Okay, it's not in use regularly here, but they could find it. So it shouldn't be called atika. So again, the Gra here changes the girsa, Dava Zira Virabto. It was a smaller measurement, then got bigger, and Daz Ira. And then it got small again. So what ended up happening was it was a smaller measurement, then got bigger, and then was reduced again. And now that's why they call it Atika. Even though you can find it now, it was premised on the older one, the one that we can't find now. The one now is equivalent to the one that we had before. And so therefore it's extant and it's around now, but it's not the new one because it was the old one. It was the one from way back, which was the original size. They increased the size and then they lowered the size back again. Now what we have in the Bavli is another statement, and that's why the Gra and others move around the gears over here. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tamnaita Kadmaita, the old Tamnaita in Tveria, Aviyateri al Da Riva, was greater than the one that we have currently by a riva, by a quarter log. And that means that if you got the old one and compared it against the new one, you would find out the quarter log, what the size of a quarter log was. Ubamisharim, Revi'et Shel Pesach. And on that, we determine the Revi'et Shel Pesach. So that's the quote from Rabbi Yochanan. That's what the Gra says is quoted over here, which is, then we bring in, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hadadi Danhi, Chatzi Shminit, Tvarnit Yishana. That is a half of a Shminit of the old Tveria one. This is where Rabbi Yochanan's memory should be brought, because the next part of the Gemara is going to ask about what the size of a Revi'et log is. So this is where you bring Rabbi Yochanan. The Gra notes that in the Bavli, the Girsa is totally different. And he says there's a problem, the Girsa in the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, it should read similar to the Bavli, which is, that Tamnaita, Kadmaita, Tavitaveri, Avyatera, Alta, Riva. So the way that we have it here in the Yushalmi is that they bring the memory of Rabbi Yochanan first, which is that he brings this memory that Rabbi Yochanan says, Chatzi Shminit, Tveria, Ishana. That was the size of it. And I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Adain, Di, Danhu. We have it, it's with us now in Tveria. So then the Gemara asks on that, if Rabbi Yochanan thinks he has it now, Lamikari le'atika, min degin da'avi b'yomei, if he has it in his time and he has it with him, why does he call it atika? Or why are they calling it atika? See, da'amre da'vazira v'rabto. Some say that it was smaller and they made it bigger. There were actually two of them. There was two sizes. One was the smaller one, one was the bigger one. So they had to tell you which one to focus on is the atika. V'damre da'zira v'lo'azira kama da'havat. that originally was small, they raised the size of it and they took it down again. When they took it down again, they didn't take it down to the size that it was before. And that's why it talks about the Atika, the old, smaller size. It's not the size that's current now, but it's the older one. Now again, the Gra moves the Girsa around and tries to say that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't make any sense the way that it's set up in our Gemara, neither do the answers. And therefore, he moves Rabbi Yochanan to the end of the Sugya, and then says Rabbi Yochanan should be something similar to what we have in the Bavli, which is that Tamnaita ad Kadmaita. The old Tamaita, the Hava B'Tveria, that was in Tveria, Hava Yeterta Alda, was more or greater than the one that we have currently, Riva, by Rivi Talog. And now the Gemara in tomorrow's daf will launch into what is the size of Rivi Talog on a volumetric basis. Okay, we'll stop over here.